We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Spider can spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Hey yo, and here we go. So We Talk Comics, episode number 141, Nostradamned. It's our usual one of the most popular shows we do, at least one of the most popular shows last year, the prediction show that we do every single year. We got myself, I'm Mo, I got Brett, Keith, and Chris with me. You guys, we're going to go around, you guys can open up. I figure these things always go, they're always unfortunate, they always happen in threes, and so we'll give you the chance to now to say your favorite moment or song or album or whatever from Natalie Cole or Lemmy or David Bowie. Brett?
Well, in the case of David Bowie, I'll say that my favorite moment was actually getting the chance to see him live. That was fantastic. In the case of Lemmy, I'll say that it was seeing them live in Anaheim, even though I wanted to cry because my ears were completely overloaded. And as far as Natalie Cole, I'm sure it was fantastic that she was able to do a duet with her father.
Huh, there you go. I didn't say you had to do all of them. I just figured pick one. But, you know, be good and make it all about you, Brett.
Well, it usually is. So.
Usually is. Keith?
I think I went with you to that concert,
yes,
Brett.
Yes, you did.
That's
Not the most.
2004 David Bowie, 6 months before he stopped touring. I think... is in a Canadian crowd, it's like our backup national anthem, David Bowie doing "I'm Afraid of Americans." The crowd went insane. that really brought the whole audience together. I listened to some interesting tracks over the past week, the past couple of days since David Bowie passed, and. If you check my Twitter, there's a YouTube link to a vocal only track of David Bowie and Freddie Mercury under pressure with no backing music at all. It is really haunting.
I think Keith just linked me to my favorite David Bowie moment. Actually, that sounds awesome.
Pronounced Bowie? Isn't that? His whole Bowie thing, isn't this an American thing? Isn't it Bowie? Isn't that the way it was pronounced in England? We get this. Can we straighten
probably
this?
Like, probably like halfway. It's probably halfway between. Like it's probably like Bowie, but with like there's a little lilt to it, so it's not quite Bowie. It's the Bowie knife, the American hero of the Alamo was Jim Bowie or Bowie, Jim Bowie. So it's there's several. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, apparently, even he wasn't sure how to pronounce his own surname. I think he does it multiple different ways as well. So,
sorry, Chris, it's your turn. You go ahead. I'm gonna get myself a beverage, because after all, we just started the podcast, and I didn't have time right beforehand.
You should have something crunchy too while you're at it.
Other than that. Just about 6 months ago, I saw the Lemmy documentary. I believe it was just entitled Lemmy.
Yep.
Where I realized he is actually as insane as his stage presence would actually indicate. So that was a great moment for me.
I would love to know if the Rainbow Bar and Grill is like literally just going to bronze the stool that he just went and sat at all the time.
Well, there's another great documentary on the Sunset Strip that actually talks about how wild that actual bar was back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it tends crazy times.
Just from the Lemmy documentary, you don't get the sense that it's just his bar.
Well, because you see the Rainbow Bar and Grill like nowadays with Lemmy sitting at it, and it's fine, but it's not like Party Central or anything. Yeah, it's just a bar and grill. But back in the day,
there's no Motley Crue getting blowjobs under the table.
No.
I'm telling you, coming in on there's no Motley Crue getting blowjobs under the table is a tremendous way to rejoin the podcast.
That's right. We're definitely back talking comics.
It's episode 69 again, all over.
My
favorite moment is listening to you guys talk about it. All right. Keith, you got compiled kind of some statistics from last year's tremendous job that we did of making predictions. I predict
absolutely
that every single prediction we made was wrong. That's my first prediction for this year. Does that count?
In the tradition of Nostradamus, of the real Nostradamus, if you just say a whole bunch of things and are a little vague about them, eventually you'll be right in some. so that again, that is held true. Mo, you were the defending champ.
Two-time or maybe three-time, wasn't I?
At least two-time.
Maybe four. Champ. Maybe five.
I say seven-time.
Okay, seven times.
Up to seven times. You came in last this year.
What?
Seems
impossible.
It was a tie. It was a tie. Brett and I both got exactly the same on the scoring.
Wow.
With Chris, a close. Do you call it third? If it's two people tie, and then it's third.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, so what you're saying is, if I got zero right, and Chris got one,
we got two. Yes. Got two.
There were a couple of gimmies. Certainly, Brett predicted that I would have a category for Booster Gold, which I did, so everyone got that right. We all predicted the Fantastic Four would be the least successful comic movie of the year, Mo, you would have scored, again, you would have scored so many extra points if you would stop listening to Chris convincing you not to make predictions. Because for obscure title coming back, you said Micronauts and then rescinded it. Because
really?
Chris convinced you it would not be coming back. And
so you're saying it is coming back?
It has been, yeah. It along with the one that Brett predicted would absolutely not come back, Rom, both will be coming back on Free Comic Day. Actually, they were announced at San Diego, but they won't be back until Free Comic Day. Mo and I both predicted that Ryan Ferrier would have a big break this year, and Brett picked David Walker. Chris, you picked Sean Kittleson. I don't think he's published a comic this year, 2015. So
doesn't that count as minus points?
Definitely not his breakthrough. Hugh, the most accurate prediction. I will give most accurate prediction. Now we always use Price is Right rules when we deal with numbers. We were asked to predict worldwide box office for Avengers: Age of Ultron. I was way, way high. Brett was way, way low. Chris picked 1.4 billion, and Mo picked 1.41 billion to be a jerk because we knew we were following Price's Right rules. Actual box office, 1.405.
Son of a bitch! That could have swung us in different directions.
That's so funny.
Mo had introduced extra decimal points, so the point on that one went to Chris. It was extremely close.
Wow, this is pretty good, though. That's pretty good to be,
So some fun ones there. Some And tons that we're nowhere even remotely close. Chris was also the first one that the only one that predicted that Dark Horse would be on Comixology at the end of the year. Everyone else, I was incorrect in my predictions, but predicted that I would be wrong. So I didn't give myself points for that, though. So congratulations, Keith and Brett.
I'd like to especially congratulate Brett because he managed to tie the guy who was doing the counting, mm-hmm. which he doesn't necessarily trust. Yeah. I still think I made the craziest, wildest prediction last year. I was incorrect in it, but I still think I took the bonus points for saying that something would outsell Star Wars number one.
Yeah, you and I both incorrectly predicted that. Mo also predicted that Boom would be within 2% of Image by the end of the year. Boom has about... I don't think Boom's even in the double digits, let alone within 2% of Image. And Boom has rolled back the number of titles they're publishing. There were.
I think you misunderstood me on that.
Mo's prediction of a Guardians of the Galaxy Star Wars crossover has also not come to fruition.
But when it does, that'll outsell Star Wars number one.
All right, on to 2016 predictions.
Yes, I'm tired of being wrong last year. Let's be wrong this year.
That's right.
Keep it up, man. Keep it up.
Excellent.
I have a prediction that's guaranteed to be right. All right. My first prediction.
Your first prediction, and then what the gimmick is, then we make a prediction based on your prediction?
Exactly.
All right. Well,
you can vote. Sometimes it's a yes or no. Sometimes there's an over under.
So, I wanted to turn this thing upside down and go really deep into it. I'm predicting that Comixology is going to take the leap and join Dark Horse this year.
Comixology will join the Dark Horse app.
That's right.
I predict Boom will start its own app, and Comixology and Dark Horse will both join it.
Mm. How about that? It's gutsy.
Yours.
I'm going to predict neither of those things will happen.
I'm playing some good odds that is not happening.
Way to go off the reservation.
If Comixology finally gets brave and takes the leap and joins the Dark Horse app, let me tell you, Brett gets 5,000 points.
Guaranteed win night, yeah.
Yes, that locks it up. I think it's slightly...
Two years ago, that's how Mo won, was we offered multiple points on a prediction.
That's right.
excellent.
And it came true immediate, like, the day of.
Like the next day, basically. Yeah. All right, predictions?
Prediction. Brian or Keith, go ahead with the prediction.
Several days ago, Marvel put out a teaser image that just says Dead No More. We don't know if this is an event. We don't know if this is a thing. Assuming that it is a dead character coming back to life, who is the Marvel character that will return to life this year?
It would be Wolverine.
I say Wolverine. In fact, that's one of my predictions right there. I was predicting the Wolverine will come back to life. So congratulations on just you got a stealing on that this, out. Brett. Yep. I'm already like done. I'm out.
So you predict that Wolverine will come back and that the character Dead No More is Wolverine.
Yes.
That's good. I'm going to predict it's all of the Marvel zombies.
Oh, I like it. I don't even know who's still dead.
Bucky. Yeah, I was thinking, is Bucky's Deadpool dead? He has 10 titles, but...
I'm going to, just for difference sake, I'm going to say Jean Grey. The Phoenix.
It would be awesome if it was Captain Marvel. Oh. Like the real Captain Marvel.
It would be awesome. Them's fighting words.
Uncle Ben.
Just lost a huge chunk of our listening audience there.
Electra.
The real Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's right. Electra, that's right.
Still sticking. I'm still sticking with my Marvel zombies, but Electra would be pretty good. Electra would be pretty good here. I got one. I predict that Superman and Wonder Woman will break up. Stop dating.
That's bold.
I'll agree with that then.
Okay.
Sorry, Keith, of the future, it's going to be hard to score again. With Mo having abandoned again the idea to put these in the form that we can weigh in on it.
We can weigh in on that. Will they or won't they?
It's a yes or no answer.
I'm gonna say yes, they're gonna break up.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're breaking up if they're still going out.
They're sort of.
They've already kind of broken up. Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's on again, off again at this point. Huh. They still have a title together.
So do I get a point already?
We'll see where they're at the end of the year.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
All right. I believe DC, in an effort to capitalize upon the success of their television programs and to negate the embarrassing fact that they did not have a Supergirl title at the time of the launch of the TV show, will put the rarest of all things, a comic book TV ad to air in one of their shows.
I didn't even understand the prediction.
They will purchase ad time on one of their shows. Is what he
to said. Advertise a comic book?
That's what he said.
To advertise a comic book.
Oh.
I am not going to agree.
That is such a wonderful business model. Hey, it's going to cost us three times the profits we'd make for one issue.
They do own the CW.
But they still have to pay the fare. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, they would still have to leverage the money through. So I'll say no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've always said that they should just throw it on at the end of like the episode. I mean, this is actually one of the things that I talked about to some of the creators during our summit. I think at the end of, like, as they go to commercial, it should say, out this week, Supergirl number 3 or whatever. Check it out or visit your local comic shop. I think they should have that on the show, but I don't know about purchasing ad time. I think they should do a lot more to advertise the actual comic books instead of just the properties. But hey.
I'm going to go with Chris on this one.
You're insane. All right.
It's game theory. I'm trying to play the system.
Wait, didn't you just get telling Mo that it was a poor idea to side with to agree with Chris on things, and now Keith is coming out and agreeing with Chris.
It's not unprecedented. We have had television ads for comics before.
Really? When?
X Factor number 1.
Oh, shut up.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It wasn't.
Go on YouTube. It's
number
there.
One, it wasn't national, for one thing. It wasn't a national ad, and it wasn't.
I didn't qualify that.
It wasn't prime time.
Did not qualify it.
Well, I think you did. You talked about during Supergirl.
He said during one of their shows.
Well,
one of their shows. And I just thought national. The embarrassment of them not tying into their digital comic books at all with the shows, I thought DC was embarrassed and they might try to
up
the ante.
I know you work within television, but so do Brett and I. And I can tell you the company that we work for would never try something like this. It just seems insane. It just seems insane to me. All right, but you know what? It's a bold. I'm gonna actually give him.
No. And we're trying to get out there a little bit. We don't want to just state the obvious over and over again.
What?
You don't want just the easy points.
We have already jumped the shark with my first prediction. So,
all right. Well, Brett, why don't you go with your second point? Remember, we don't want the easy points. So, what are we going to be predicting this time?
All right. Well, since we already stole the,
you get the feeling you're making up right now,
the Wolverine one. No. I'm. We always have
meditation.
Yes. We always have, you know, fantastic conventions. And so the question is always, which one is going to be the biggest convention? Well, I'm going to say that this year the biggest convention is going to be New York City Comic Con, because Marvel's going to unveil a new slate of books at the New York City Comic Con.
Biggest in what sense?
Biggest in the newsworthy sense. The most news is going to come from New York City because of Marvel unveiling their new slate of comic books.
So like we say, what we want to do is we want to go with really bold.
Yes.
If they can be both bold and incredibly hard to quantify later.
So Marvel,
that's a twofer.
Marvel will announce new comic books are coming out at the New York Comic Con.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Good luck, Keith, in the future on figuring out how you quantify that.
Come on, Keith. You should disagree.
Is this up again? Like, is the actual prediction that Marvel's going to announce things at New York Comic Con, or is the announcement that of all the conventions that happen, the one that's going to have the most comic book information, the most surprising, like the
I think you
most
just
excited
put more
comic
thought
book
into this than Brett did.
It's both. There you go. That's
both.
Just to make it even harder to score,
it's both. That's helpful. I think San Diego's gonna have more big comic news this year than New York will.
Okay. So
that'll be my prediction.
I predict it will not be Calgary.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no points on that one, Mo.
No. Who's supposed to go next?
I can go. Warren Ellis's Karnak comic. First issue came out October 21. The second issue is scheduled for February 3rd. So with an over-under of 6, how many issues of Karnak will get published this year?
Who's publishing it?
This is from Marvel. It is Warren Ellis's title from Marvel.
It's
part of the Marvel...
It's the Inhumans. Karnak from the Inhumans.
What is it called? Super-duper... brand spanking new Marvel? Is that the branding now?
Well, I don't know.
I can't remember what they're calling it. All new Marvel now?
All new
so, for, Marvel. Number one in October. Number two scheduled for February 3rd.
I'm going to go with under because I think it's going to be 4.
I'm going with 8. So over. I think it's just that the artist screwed up and they'll get that shit figured out.
I'm going with under just because it came out the same week as Red Wolf. And I doubt we'll get an issue too. So,
I'm also going to go with under.
I think Warren Ellis is on crack.
I think he gets to issue 5 or 6, and he's like, "Well, no, I was never going to make this a regular series."
That's
wait a second. You think Warren Ellis is on crack? Is that some sort of prediction? Can we work that in? That will be discovered.
So everyone weigh in. What drug will Warren Ellis be on in 2016? Brett says crack.
I say all of them. Can we go with all of them?
Yeah.
Blocka.
I'm gonna go with truck stop speed.
All right.
Truck stop.
All right. I'm gonna make a prediction here, and I'm gonna go out on a limb. And this one. Remember how I talked about how somebody would outsell Star Wars, and it was like I knew that it was super unlikely, but I figured if I scored it, it was worth so many points because they just sold a million. Issues. So I'm doing the same thing here. I'm going with one that is so unlikely that it's worth like a billion points if it happens, but I'm going with it. You guys can do the yes or no. It's a yes or no one then. Secret Wars will end in 2016.
That's not worth any points. Secret Wars ended today.
Are you sure about that, though?
What?
Are you really, truly sure that Secret Wars ended today? I'm not sure I believe it.
I thought it just kept on getting bumped up. And
it did to today. It was supposed to end in, like, October.
Well, then I get a point for that, right?
No points. No, it came out today.
No points for predicting things that won't be happening.
Damn it.
No matter.
Seriously?
It worked for Nostradamus, right? Actually, but it will not work.
It ended today. Just shitting me.
No. Number nine came out today.
Of an eight-issue limited series.
Yeah, of an eight-issue limited series.
So we have no way to guarantee that this is the end.
Okay, there'll be bonus points if Secret Wars number 10 comes out.
All right.
How about any other tie-in issues? If another tie-in issue still comes out, yeah. Does that
half point? It has to be branded, though.
Okay,
half point right. If it's branded. I don't even. I'm now throwing out extra points for yourself and for you guys. I have nothing to weigh in on. Really handicapping myself here.
That prediction didn't turn out at all how I thought it would. I really thought that was a safe one.
I will say last year the over-under of Marvel events was a mess because having sucked up the entire year in one event, Marvel was way under their normal number of events.
I think I was the only one to pick under, wasn't I?
No, Brett and I were the only ones to pick under. Marvel events. The over-under was 4, and there were only 2 in the end. There was some like little tiny win, and then Secret Wars.
Give us one.
All right. The Deadpool movie will open very, very strong. A sequel will be announced within days, but the movie will be bad. Green Lantern bad.
It's very ominous. I don't know if
predict. Yeah, I don't know how I'm supposed to predict off of that. Like, am I supposed to predict it will be bad or won't be bad? That's an opinion. How can you say?
I
know it has Ryan Reynolds, so there's a good chance it's bad, especially and there's a good chance it'll bomb as a comic book movie with Ryan Reynolds.
It's a hard R comic book movie, which we.
Yeah, I think that's going to kill it. Personally.
We haven't had since Kick-Ass.
I think when you say open strong, what's considered a strong opening? It used to be 18 million was considered a strong opening.
If it opens
18 million, it'll be a bomb.
I think a sequel being announced within days would define whether it opens strong or not.
What does it need to get to get to that? 40, 50 million?
It needs the studio to say we're making a second one.
Now you got me doing, and this is the, now I'm doing research in the middle of the show.
So Chris, can we put this like
weekend?
Can we put this in a format that's predictable
predictable? Yeah,
like there will be a Deadpool sequel announced.
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying no sequel will be announced in 2016?
Will be announced.
Oh, so you got two predictions. One is that there will be a sequel announced, but that the movie will be terrible.
Okay, so
your view.
Ant-Man earned 57.2. Is this a Marvel movie or this is technically in the X-Men universe?
No, it's a Fox
movie. X-Men universe.
It's a Fox movie.
Yeah. So that's another reason to think it won't get anywhere near there.
So
if Ant-Man opened at 57, I'm guessing this is opening at one-third. I'm going to guess 20 million and that will not, and it'll dry off at about 60, 70 million and will not get a sequel.
We should predict the aggregate score on IMDb of the fans' rating.
Hey, nice work there, Brad, putting it in some kind of format that's usable.
So what did Ant-Man score on IMDb? Because we could use that as an over and under.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
As an over and under? I can get it here in just a second.
Ant-Man's an over and under. Ant-Man, I don't know what it should have scored, or he scored, but I know what. Holy crap, 7.5? It should have been about a 4.5. That movie was no friggin' good.
7.5. So 7.5 is the over under on Deadpool.
Oh, well.
That's a tough one. 7.5 is basically, I mean, that is average for a movie that is watchable, basically.
And Deadpool is
almost 7.6. I'm just trying to get some more.
Limit the research. Go with your instincts here, Mo.
What is Green Lantern then?
I think it's a 5. I think it might be a 6, like a 5.5 or a 6.
Yeah, what would
there's be? There's not a whole lot under 5 for comic book movies.
It's a 5.6.
Yeah, there's not a lot under 5.
I'm gonna go with over. So there.
Oh, over? No, not over. Yeah, give a number, huh?
Yeah, over under has already been set at 7.5.
I think we said let's set the over under at 6.5.
Fine, over.
Right in between.
No.
If Ant-Man's 7.5 and Green Lantern's 5.6, the medium of that is 6.5.
Almost no comic movies are under a 5, though.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of movies starring. There's
this Hulk is good 5. Pod right 7, here.
Daredevil 5.3. Fantastic Four 5.7, Rise of the Silver Surfer 5.6. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot that are below.
Settle on 7 and move on with our lives.
Okay, under.
Under 7?
Chris?
Under.
I'm saying over.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, good. Yeah.
Yeah, half point because you laughed at me. Brett, you said over?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's, do we want to do box office then? Or
opening weekend? No, we're like moving that? On.
All right. Let's. Sounds good to me.
That other one's dead.
Well, let's jump right into then. This is the year of like more comic book movies than have ever happened in one year ever. So we've got Deadpool, Batman versus Superman, Age of Apocalypse, Suicide Squad, Civil War, and Doctor Strange are all out this year. Which financially will be the least successful?
I am going with Doctor Strange.
No, Keith has to go first because it's his category.
I have to go first. It's a very tricky one. It's some strong movies. I'm going to be bold and say Doctor Strange.
I think you stole my thunder, but as much as the hard R is going to hurt it, I think the, and I know that everything Marvel's turns out, but I mean, Doctor Strange is one of the, like, I never understood why Doctor Strange was more popular than Doctor Fate. Like, Doctor Fate has a cool looking uniform, and Doctor Strange is Doctor Strange. He's one of those guys who's like there when, hey, let's go visit him to solve a magic thing and then not use him for 6 months. That's his best use. There's nothing to connect you to this guy, nothing about him that's relatable. I see this as being unsuccessful, so I got to go Doc Strange.
Mo, you've convinced me to change my answer. I'm going with Deadpool. No. No, Doctor Strange, definitely the least popular.
Brett, you're going Batman, Superman?
No. That would be crazy. I'm going Suicide Squad.
Well, it could bomb.
I'm betting people don't get it.
Well, I watched, you guys seen the Suicide Squad animated film they did with Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, if I'm watching that, and actually I know is actually, that's rated highly on IMDb, but I'm watching this going, if this is what the movie's going to be like, this is going to suck, and people will not get it.
Well, and I wasn't too sure about the decision to go PG on it. I mean, it's to tie in with all the rest of the
Marvel. That animated movie's almost rated R.
I know.
At least a hard PG-13.
They've basically said all the DC movies are going to be PG, same as all the Marvel movies are PG. Like, that's just where they're going to sit. But it is an interesting choice to make something that looks like, you know, that raucous and make it PG.
Yeah.
All right.
This is I don't think you picked one, Keith, did you? Or no, you did.
Yeah. I did. I
Strange. Okay.
We all said Doctor Strange, so we'll all be wrong when Age of Apocalypse totally did.
Your turn. Is it Chris's turn? I think it's Chris's turn, right?
Okay.
I know I got three left.
I have two.
Okay. This is free points for you guys. Howard the Duck will make a live-action appearance in 2016.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no. Unless Chip Zdarsky's working on a Marvel movie.
I can tell you, that book is not selling very well, is it? I don't think it is. Okay, I'm going to make one here. This is not officially one of my predictions, but we'll just do it at the same time. I'm going to predict that Leah Thompson is going to make a live-action appearance this year. Now, this is 50-50. 3 points, guys.
I'm only assuming that Leah Thompson is currently alive.
I only know she is because I saw this Back to the Future documentary that came out that back in time a couple months ago. But if it wasn't for that, there's no way anybody would have seen her this year.
Live action appearance.
Yeah. I think she has a show on like the Lifetime Network or something.
In other words, a no. That means a no.
So definitely no one's going to see her.
Yeah.
So I can tell you this, though. Having seen that documentary, Chris, remember that crush you used to have on her? You're still good to go, buddy.
Oh, I know. I am sitting here looking at, I think I've got a card here that actually has her autographed on it.
I'll say yes. I'll be charitable.
She's gonna make a reemergence.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a public appearance is like, oh look, there she is. She went outside.
How many people have to see? She's on.
Watch. Well, yeah. She'll be brought to the Calgary Expo this year, and we'll request an interview. And she'll go, wait a second, I heard about.
I was just listening to the We Talk Comics podcast, and I'm very annoyed by with you guys.
I was so going to be on it, but
that's exactly what will happen. One of our millions of fans.
Okay, so Brett, you got three left.
Two left.
Chris, how many you got left? No, you got two left, Brett.
Have five left. I may have gone over.
You're not supposed to do. They're only supposed to do five, dummy. What the hell are you doing? What do you want to do? A 7-hour podcast?
Just whichever ones are appropriate.
Yeah. I'll just keep up with you guys.
All right. Well, I'll go with one. So, Marvel has teased that there will be a major death in Civil War 2. Civil War 2 is coming out this year. Who's going to die?
Is that the movie or is that?
In the comic book. In the comic book.
I'm guessing, you know what? I know you're supposed to go first because it's yours, and that's two in a row. I don't think I didn't notice. But I'm going Wolverine, though. Bring him back. Immediately kill him off again. Wolverine!
That's awesome.
Tony Stark.
Ooh, Tony Stark, bold.
Captain America.
Which Captain America?
Damn it, I was going for a twofer there, man.
Tony Stark, Brett, you realize he's the most popular, well-recognized, well-known superhero in the world, right?
Uh-huh.
Remember I won that argument a couple years ago?
With
an actor whose contract is running out. It's going to be a Falcon, but I'm going to go Captain America anyway. Steve Rogers.
You mean the real Captain America? You're gonna,
the real
you're
Captain
say
America,
that?
Yes.
just we're going to get letters.
Not the fake Captain America.
Brett, please say Jean Grey. Please say Jean
Grey. Jean Grey.
I came up with the question, but I didn't actually come up with the prediction. I forgot to do that part of this.
Keith, I'm going to hire you just to like make my... do the predictions for me, just send me out, and then I'll make the predictions based on your prediction questions. There, that's
I wish I had known that. I could have started the episode with, I predict that I'll come up with all of the things Brett was going to predict.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Winter Soldier. think we kill off Winter Soldier this year. Need some attention on him.
All right.
Assuming he's alive. Brett, did you want to send something, throw something out there?
Oh, sure. I'm gonna go big here with a bunch of cancellations. So I don't know how you'll score it. I mean, I don't care. Awesome. I'm predicting that for DC, Omega Men, Lobo, Telos, and Midnighter will be canceled, and Gotham by Midnight won't be canceled, but it'll undergo a name change.
Bold. Half of those are already wrong.
And then
he has an entire year.
For Marvel, Hercules, Howling Commandos, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, Black Knight, Drax, and Illuminati will be canceled.
Okay, Since Omega Man is a limited series, I think that one's fairly safe.
Telos is a miniseries.
Wait, before you guys ruin and get your own, I'm just going to say with Brett, yes, because I presume that was a yes or no.
Yes.
I say yes, Brett, well, you're right.
What was Telos really like, was it a miniseries or was it a regular series that they made into a miniseries?
Yeah, all of a sudden DC's got a couple miniseries coming out for the first time in several years. Who apparently, I'm guessing, have low sales. How does that work?
Well, Telos is low enough sales that it was a 12 issue miniseries that's become a 6 issue miniseries.
See, canceled. Hello.
That's good. He's already got that then. That's a point.
Still no and points too, for things that
yes. Yeah. I said yes, so I get a point.
I'm saying no just because if any title mentioned there continues into the new year, I'm right.
So as
he
long
made a prediction,
as long as
they would all be canceled.
Oh, that's a good call. I'm going with Chris. Nice work, Chris.
It's
really
what?
Only one of those books Lose. Has to live.
But you get multiple points if you jump on with me and say that I'm wrong on certain and right on certain. Then you can get multiple points.
No, because half of them have already been canceled. So
perfect. See, we're rolling.
So again, no points on things that have already happened. So just one of those books has to survive the year.
You used that stupid rule with me too earlier.
which ones have already been canceled?
Telos has been cut from 12 to 6. Omega Men is done at 12. Midnighter's still going. What was the other DC one you said?
Lobo.
Lobo. I'm pretty sure Lobo has been given a final issue announcement already, too.
So it's less like predicting and more like reading.
But I didn't read anything. That's the best part.
that's the way the best prophets do it. They guess things that have already happened. I didn't look at a newspaper. I just knew. I'm going to be bold and say that Barack Obama is getting reelected in 2012.
Wow, that would be
yes, no.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was thinking to myself when I was getting myself a beverage there. I was thinking to myself how I'm not afraid of Americans, and then I was thinking to myself, unless Trump gets in, then I'm scared shitless.
Well, let's do that prediction. When this game rolls around again, there will be a president, a new president. Predict who the president of the real life America will be in January of 2007.
I'm going to go with Lex Luthor.
So Trump it is.
I don't think Trump will get in. I don't know who's going to get in. But I know I don't think it'll be Trump. I don't think. Might be Hillary, but I don't think so. I don't know.
I'll just say Hillary, just because I couldn't live myself if Trump got in. So I don't want to live in that world.
Then it's going to happen. And how could you live with yourself if it happens and it's all your fault?
Yeah, that's right.
I could, if I went in that pessimistic, I don't think I could live with myself. Just.
Brett, so weigh in. Can you live with yourself? I think was the
if
last
you caused, if you caused Trump to get in.
I never said if I predicted.
Yes, I can. And I'm going with Mario Puzo as the president. Whatever.
Mario Puzo, the deceased author of the Godfather series. That's who you're going for.
Sure, sure. The guy who's named Mario.
As far as predictions go,
he's got as good a chance as half of them.
A novelist that died over 10 years ago. So
Mario, whatever his name is. I don't know what his name is.
Marco Rubio? Nope. Is that
sure, that guy. Yeah.
All right.
Now, clearly, you're the one who follows American politics the most.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor. Still Lex Luthor.
Yeah. I don't think Trump will get in. I don't. Saying that.
I am going to say Clinton.
I honestly, if she was 5 to 10 years younger, I think she'd have a good shot. I think, what is she, about 70, though?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. Can we pause the show while we look up how old Hillary Clinton is? Because
that's
comics.
somebody just, why don't jump on with a new prediction.
All right, well, since Brett was bold enough to predict a whole bunch of DC comics that would be canceled that have already been canceled.
I predicted Marvel Comics 68. Yeah.
68.
You're predicting Marvel Comics 68.
Yes.
Okay. No, she had.
I don't know what that is, but I like it. It's like Batman 66.
68 years old is older than most of the presidents have been over the last couple decades. So,
since Reagan would be the only one that would have been older than that when he got elected.
Yeah, maybe the younger Bush. He was pretty much. He was pretty up there too.
Yeah,
the first Bush was up there too.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that works against her. So I don't have a prediction.
All right. On that. Mo predicts there will be no president.
Other than Lex Luthor.
Yes, yeah, right. Lex Luthor. Aside from possibly Lex Luthor as a write-in candidate. I don't know if Jesse Eisenberg is over 35, so I don't know if he's constitutionally eligible. But I'm going to go with Clinton, Jesse Eisenberg, and then Trump in that order.
Ooh, Kevin Spacey. It's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, man. See, you put Kevin Spacey into the mix. Now it's...
Well, yeah. Well, that's my prediction of Luthor. That doesn't count.
Kevin Spacey is Luthor, or Kevin Spacey is his character?
Man, is this show our typical off the rails or what?
Kevin Spacey as Frank Underwood as Lex Luthor.
Okay, I would injure myself if I tried to do that accent. So, in that vein, I think
Chris, you got 14,000 predictions left. Let me throw one or two out there.
Okay, how about this? Madefire, the comic book reading app, will be bought by a larger company to form a serious contender to Amazon.
I'll disagree because I don't even remember that I've heard of it.
Can I agree that it's going to be bought, but not the serious contender? Are those separate points?
Is that a prediction? I don't even get that that's a prediction.
It's an excellent little comic book reading app. It has superior technology, but it's undermarketed. Thus, Brett has never heard of it. I think somebody's going to buy it.
It's a comic book reading app. Wait. I have to ask you. What rights, what books are currently on there? What publisher?
I believe everybody but Marvel.
Really?
Yep.
For what is it, trades?
You know what? I don't use it enough.
awesome.
I'm saying no.
I'll say no.
This race is over. Amazon has won.
I didn't quite understand the prediction, but I'm going to say no anyway.
Yeah, me too. It's just safer.
Do you have another one there, Chris?
That's what I say.
Sure. Kamala Khan will make a Marvel Cinematic Universe appearance. Ooh. As in Ms. Marvel.
The current Ms. Marvel.
Yes.
That's an interesting one. I there's There was a story the other day that there's going to be 56 characters in Avengers Infinity War.
When does that come out?
17.
Okay, so it doesn't qualify for this year's prediction.
No. But it means that there are going to be even more characters introduced between now and then to get that
well,
head count.
I've read that there's going to be over 30 in Civil War.
I can see it depends on how many supporting casts they're bringing in. I know Avengers that are established at the end of Age of Ultron are all in it. So,
I'm just going to say no.
I'm also going to say no.
Fine, just for that, I'm going to say yes.
I don't even know what I'm saying no to, but I'm saying
going
no.
with Chris.
I'm going to riff, though, and say Captain Marvel gets an appearance this year.
Wait.
Possibly in a post-credits.
When is Civil War coming?
Civil War's out in April.
Oh, okay, good.
No, May. First week of May.
Good enough, then. Then I'm going.
So Civil War and Doctor Strange are the movies this year.
Okay.
That's a lot of post-credit sequences ahead of us.
So I'm going to make a prediction. I think it's we're going to see some movement on some major creators. Finally, I think a lot of the same guys have been, a lot of the top creators have been with the same companies for the same amount of time. So I think one of the major guys that really leads the sales or the top selling books of one of the big two companies will leave or go to Image or something like that. So I'm asking you guys who you think it is that's going to leave. I'm going with Jonathan Hickman leaving Marvel.
Interesting.
I'll agree with you on that.
Not 100% sure he's doing anything at Marvel after Secret Wars that just ended today. So...
this year, though, I might add, it did end this year.
Did it? I guess it did, didn't it?
I don't know that
he's still sure about that. I'm still not buying that. I'm not taking your word for it, Keith.
Well, that's fair. That's
so. Who's going to leave?
I actually think Matt Fraction will leave both Marvel and DC, and concentrate on creator-owned work.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Possibility for sure.
I'm gonna, though Jonathan Hickman's the safe choice because I'm pretty sure he's already done.
what?
I'm gonna say Scott Snyder's gonna leave DC.
Ooh,
I was gonna go say to that Marvel? Too. Damn, yeah.
I think he's gonna leave. I'm not gonna say where he's gonna go.
Okay.
He's. I tell him
because he's also got Vertigo books there, so it'd be tough for him to go, wouldn't it?
He's on and off with American Vampire.
Yeah.
But he's been doing books at Image as well.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Okay. So Snyder and Brett.
Well, I'm not going to pick Cullen Bunn.
No, he's already working everywhere.
Rick Remender.
Is he? Right. He was a Marvel exclusive, wasn't he?
He's been doing a ton of Marvel. I don't know what he's. I don't know if he's exclusive or not.
Oh, so you're seeing a Remender DC book then, Brett?
I don't know. Maybe Image. There you go. You just said leave.
You're saying a Remender Oni book is coming? Yeah, no, you're right. I said they're going to leave. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good point.
It's an interesting
good
category.
Good luck scoring though.
Good work on the category, though. Well, that was a solid one.
Then I'll go with my next one.
All right.
The Lock to Not Leave. Brian Michael Bendis will not leave Marvel. Of all the guys, like I said, major name will leave. It could be a Geoff Johns. It could be a Penn. But I'm saying he's the one guy who I believe is not leaving this year, probably not in the next 10 years. Because I've heard some rumors that he could leave because I guess now they got Powers on that PlayStation Network. And I saw the first episode of that. It was actually on Crackle. So I watched it. I'm not watching anymore, but I watched the first episode. And I know he has other things going on in Hollywood.
I had a similar experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He has some other stuff going on in Hollywood. So I heard there's rumors he's going to leave, but I predict Brian Michael Bendis is no chance he leaves. So who is the guy who's the lock to not go?
Cullen Bunn.
He's working everywhere, Brett.
Exactly. He's not leaving any company.
This is gonna be hilarious when
I continue to work for at least five companies this year.
It's gonna be hilarious when I score this and Colin Bunn hasn't produced a comic in 3 months when it's time to score it.
With Colin Bunn, what we need is the over under on how many companies he will work for.
That's actually.
I predict Frank Miller will not leave DC in 2016.
Well, he's got three issues. Is that three? No, it's Lamore this time, isn't it? It's like six issues or something like that.
Eight issues plus specials. Issues.
Yeah, this next one. So will all eight issues get published?
Oh, will the rest of the issues come out in 2016?
I'm just announcing. I'm just saying he will not leave.
Well, if it's going to take till 2019, then you're right. He won't.
Yeah, that's why it's a smart bet.
Yeah, no. Until the final issue of Batman and Robin comes out, technically he can't go anywhere.
So it's a tough one to score because I think he's actually finished working on Batman on Dark Knight 3 already. Because he's not writing it; he's only plotting it.
Well, that's right. It was Azzarello or something. Azzarello, like that,
isn't
it?
But he announced our Dark Knight 4 too.
That's true. So. Yeah.
Oh, what?
Someday. Oh, quick! Make a Dark Knight 4 prediction.
What year?
What? 2022.
They have not put a date to it. They have to finish Dark Knight 3 before. Okay, so there's two things
to
weigh in on there.
I don't think DC has committed to it.
That
was just Frank Miller talking.
Dark Knight is like printing money.
Who's your lock to stay?
My lock to stay would be Jeff Johns.
You should have said Scott Snyder. That would have been hilarious.
That's game theory right there. That's
one of those two things would be true.
One of those two things would be true. That's right.
Yes.
I like your... I like this other prediction angle, though.
Which one? I don't even know what we're talking about.
Come on, let's move on. Let's move on.
The over-under on Cullen Bunn, we didn't all weigh in on.
Yeah, that's true.
I say right. He works for... Let me see. He's already got... He's got Oni, DC, Marvel...
Dark Horse.
Is he really?
Well, he's got Dark Horse for sure.
Dark Horse for sure. I don't know about Image. What about Monkey Brain? Did he have anything at Monkey Brain?
No, I don't think he's got anything at Monkey Brain.
Is anything still coming out from Monkey Brain?
I haven't seen anything from Monkey Brain in a while, but
yeah, there's still stuff coming out. Not so often, but there is still.
Well, he's got four. I think he's got. Okay, well, we know that he's got
with
four
companies. So the over and under then is four, and I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over as well. He's going to find a way to produce something from at least one more company in that in this
what
year.
What if it's okay. One thing I'm not clear on an over-under is what if it's four?
Well, then we win.
And everybody wins or no one wins. Like, which happens if it is four?
Over or under is four. You have to pick over or under. If it is four, there's no points.
Well, we already know it's four. There.
But at the end of the year,
if it's still four, there's no points.
Then everybody's
still
wrong.
Still going to be
that's
four.
That's what I'm trying to...
If you say it stays at four, that's you can do that. You can go over, under, you can go medium. You can go the medium, you can go with the four. Over, under, or the same.
Okay.
It's like the snake draft.
I'm also going to say over.
I'm just to be different, I'll say under.
Wait, you've lost already?
I don't know what the hell's going on.
I suppose it wasn't really fair. Over under wasn't really fair. I guess over or the same is really because he's already produced comic books from four companies this year. So
he has. It's the sixth week of the month.
Okay, fine. He will. I guarantee it. Because he's got a regular series at Dark Horse. He has regulars with DC. He has regulars with Marvel. And he has a regular with Oni. Right.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Where's Helheim? Is that the Oni one?
I don't think... No, I think it's the sixth gun still.
Six Gun is Sony as well. Yeah.
Alrighty. Can I predict, was there some sort of Dark Knight?
Oh, so if you haven't read Six Gun, man, you're
Yeah, Dark Knight was the other thing we have to weigh in on. There's two issues of Dark Knight, three have come out. Will number 8 be published in 2016?
Because he's not that heavily involved, I'm going yes.
I'm gonna go yes.
Yes, I'm going with yes because of that.
Across the board.
Here's the thing about it. I saw the numbers were like 400,000 copies or something like that. More than, I think, north of 400,000 copies for the first issue. So with that much money on the line, I don't think they screw this up.
It's what's keeping the lights on at DC right now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of DC, let's make a prediction. Will DC reboot, unboot, or relaunch in 2016? So you can pick one of those three things or no.
What was it?
Will they reboot? Will they unboot? Or will they relaunch?
And I can say no to none of those?
You can say none of those things will happen. Everything is business as usual at DC for the next
one. None of those things will happen. Even though, you know what? Yeah, like you said there, I guess they've lost some market share, haven't they, this past year?
It's been a challenging year since DCU for sure. Yeah. they've lost traction on the big books, which is actually where the big problem is.
Mm. Which makes you wonder if they'll make a desperate move. I don't think so. I think they're going to try a strategy within this. I think there's a few things they can try before they do that, though. The big money will be when they what was it? The three? There was a relaunch, reboot, and
unboot, resetting it to pre Flashpoint.
I think that's the big money, the unboot. I don't know if it's long-term the big money, but I think that event would have a lot of, I think that would get a lot of press, and that's the big money. But again, this was the big money too when they did it, and you got to sustain it.
I vote unboot in 2017, so I'm making a prediction for next prediction episode. I'm going to do all my predictions for next year.
Let's make all our 2017 predictions now. Yeah. I like it. How many people are going to be in the, how many characters in the Marvel Comics movies will appear in 2017? I got 87.
All right. I'm going DC will relaunch. It'll be so relaunch is my answer. But I'm going to qualify that. Just so I can be more right, it'll be a soft relaunch that does not reset numbers.
That's a reworking, is what you're saying. A reworking, not a relaunch then.
Was reworking a choice?
So basically you're saying what they did at DCU, they're going to do that again.
Yes.
So they'll have books they'll all have a clear jump on point, but not renumbering.
Well, yes. This would be 5 years since New 52, wouldn't it?
5 years in August, last week of August.
And we've always heard it's about every 5 years that they should do this. So, it's interesting. It's interesting.
I'm going to go with a full relaunch.
Hmm. The big money's the unboot.
I think that ship has sailed. I don't think any of that money's still on the table.
I think you're wrong.
I don't think anyone that walked away 5 years ago has any interest in giving DC money. I really don't. And I think every fan that they've currently got disappears.
I think you're wrong.
Well, apparently they don't have as many, so that's less of a concern.
Yeah. I got to say, I think that the Humble Bundle is going to continue to be a very popular thing with both fans and comic book companies. So let's make a prediction on the first Humble Bundle of the year. Is it going to be like Archie was a possibility?
So the second one after the one that was announced today, that's what you're going to.
What?
The second one after the one that was announced today is the one we have to make the prediction of.
What?
There was one announced today.
Don't tell me it's Image. Is it Image? Is it Image?
Of course it was Image.
Fuck!
Fuck! Moe's the master of
predicting. Are you serious?
No, it's image diversity. So it's all of the books with LGBT and Q characters.
Well, that does that count then? I was going to say Image.
it's Image. So who's the second?
Dynamite.
Dynamite's
going to be Archie then.
This is also going to be difficult to score because I'm going to have to find out what the February Comics Humble Bundle was in January of next year. Let's see now.
They're not doing one every month, are they?
I was done one.
I'm not actually signed up to them, even though I don't know why, because I've gotten a couple of them, but I don't seem to get emails.
I got the Top Cow one and I got the Neil Gaiman one.
So they send out emails telling you what they are every month? Why am I not getting these if I've ordered these before?
Check your settings. Check your email address. Check your spam folder.
So I would not have made such an ass of myself with this category.
Check your spam folder, Grandma. That's probably where it is.
I still think you're bullshitting me. I'm going to say Image. Who else is going Image?
I'm definitely going to go Image.
I get points again for that.
I'm going to be more specific and say Image Diversity. That's point half.
No.
So you think the second one's also going to be Image? Is that your prediction?
No. I'm saying the first one is going to be Image. Because I didn't know, so I should get it right.
I'm gonna be bold and say the second one will be Skybound.
What the hell?
There has been.
Oh.
There's been a Top Cow, but I don't think there's been a Skybound one.
Just because I want 0 points next year, I'm going to go with Dark Horse.
Nice. All right, what else do we got? Well, we had to retire the classic Will Dark Horse go to Comixology? That has been a prediction category every year.
Right, because we have Will Comixology go to Dark Horse.
That's right.
Where? Circle.
That's a good category.
Well, I have a Dark Horse prediction. Dark Horse will file for bankruptcy protection in the year.
You do realize, Chris, that Dark Horse's market share is equivalent to what it was before they lost Star Wars.
I didn't actually know that. Yeah. But I knew they lost Image lost a Humble Bundle.
We really need to start doing the news again.
Like, everybody thought they were going to die, and you probably just assumed because they lost that they're... But no, they're in about the exact same place, sales-wise, as they were.
That was a good pod.
Coming up is the Kryptonite Awards from a bunch of guys who aren't reading books. Next week. This will be.
Let's just label this predictions 2015 and be done with it.
Oh man, the scores would be so high.
If we could get 2015 predictions right now, I'd probably get at least a third of them right now. Maybe. I would predict that Avengers would get 1.405 billion.
Okay, well, since we retired the Comixology question, let's start a new one. Is this the year that DC launches a Marvel Unlimited style app?
No.
No, they won't.
No.
No.
No, that's good stuff. That'll really help the scores. That'll separate the leaders from the failing.
More likely they would join Scribd. And unless they do that, I don't think, I mean, that would be a sign that they're thinking in that direction first. And I don't see that happening.
They have a small amount of stuff on Hoopla, but most of it's pretty old
stuff. That's a little different deal.
Yeah.
It's public library stuff. So,
yeah, they don't. And they're one of the only ones that doesn't have their singles on the Kindle store either.
Yeah.
Which is a huge pain in the ass. Yes. Yeah. Pretty much everyone else has single issues on there. Which for you Canadians is way, way cheaper than Comixology right now. Because you can pay in Canadian dollars.
Getting to
read comics now.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, at least somebody's paying attention.
All right, well, I'm glad that's definitely the question that's going to separate out the
winner. If it's a tiebreaker question, that's a good one. I think I've used all my categories. Brett, you used all yours?
Brett has muted himself.
Yeah. No. I have one. It totally ties into the DC thing because I'm going to predict that both DC and Marvel will jump out again with huge crossovers, but the crossovers will actually flop epically. So what? That will lead DC next year to do an unboot.
So you're saying, I'm so confused. Okay, will DC, this is what I'm hearing, DC will cross over with other companies?
No, well, yes, they will. Yes, they will as well.
Yes. That's definitely going to be easy to count here.
So DC will cross, I'll go with that too. DC will have a crossover with another company next year.
But they will also have an intercompany crossover that will be a giant flop and do nothing.
Okay. But can I also make that same prediction for Marvel?
Yes, absolutely.
Marvel will make a big, have a giant intercompany crossover that will flop and mean nothing and do nothing.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes both to those things.
Both companies will, in other words, both companies will run their company like they have for the last 10 years.
Yes, they will.
Except
until next year.
Basically printed money with Secret Wars.
Oh, sure. But it didn't do anything.
That still sucked.
That's really not the point for Marvel.
No.
I mean, if Marvel didn't publish comics that sucked.
Then
they would just have Karnak. They would just have Karnak. I'm going to say that DC will have a big line-wide crossover, which they have not done since pre-New 52, and it'll be successful.
I predict Keith is right.
Wasn't Convergence a line-wide crossover?
No, it suspended all of the titles.
Brett, from your perspective, was it a line-wide crossover? Because I think you might have a different perspective there.
There's no perspective to have. All of the other titles stopped, and they were all new miniseries that happened.
Brett? To me, that
basically no characters from the month before Convergence appear in Convergence.
That just sounds like arguing semantics to me. It's because it's an entire DC crossover
event. Yeah,
it's an
it had an opening ending.
But there's no line involved. How could it be a line-wide crossover when the line isn't involved?
Well, it's a DC
because you create a new line. DC-wide. You created a line.
Semantics. There are no titles from
you created no you that, created you that, created that you created a line, and those lines are based on characters that already existed. That to me that's I would agree with Brett. And next year's okay, let's go with this. In terms of overall suckage, will next year's DC intercrossover company crossover event suck more or less than Convergence, and will Marvel's intercompany crossover suck more or less than Secret Wars? This is a good one.
I'm gonna. Ooh.
Whose opinion is going to be the one that weighs here, though?
I'm only asking Brad. DC's the only one I know who read all of it.
DC's will be better than Convergence, and Marvel's will be worse than Secret Wars. No, wait.
Yeah, that doesn't seem possible.
No, they've both got to be better, right?
But they have still to suck. Be better, right? Because they both suck.
Wait, I'm not going to read them. I don't care.
Yes, you will. how about you, Chris? Next year's crossovers be better or worse?
I'm going to go with better. Just because if I say better, they'll be better.
It's just you have that power. We talked about that earlier when you made Donald Trump president.
Yep.
And then,
I've lost the thread of what I'm comparing it to. But I'm gonna say better in that I'm gonna be able to read more than one issue of the Marvel crossover before I go. I think I needed 8 years of comics to prep me for this issue.
Oh, a nightmare. I agree with you, Keith. And what about the DC one?
It'll be better. It'll be the best ever. It'll be like Crisis on Infinite Earths all over again. It'll be fantastic.
All right.
You'll be Infinite weeping.
Infinite Crisis. That was
it'd be like Millennium all over again.
There was Crisis on and Infinite Crisis. That one was good. The Final Crisis. That was the one where they that's the one where it jumped the shark. in the 52 countdown series. That was had good moments and bad.
Well, it would have helped if Grant Morrison, who wrote Final Crisis, had read any of the comics that was supposedly led to Final Crisis. That probably would have been an advantage. Arguing.
Man, this guy loves to argue semantics, eh, Brad?
I don't know. I don't know what was.
Yes, he does.
I don't know what I was arguing there. It was just a comment that Grant Morrison had nothing to do with the other books.
Yeah. Fudge. That Rand Dannegar war was good. Anyways,
wasn't that an Infinite Crisis tie-in?
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't.
we're just listing good comics now. Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely lost the thread.
I don't know. I think the Adam Strange one was the Infinite Crisis because Adam Strange had the 12 issue, and then there was the 12 issue Rand Dannegar war, and I think that was. I don't even know. I can't keep up.
All right.
Let's wrap this sucker up or OUT. Somebody wrap the podcast up for me. I need another beverage.
Oh, there was a listener requested one. So Archie has been a couple of months without releasing issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. from their...
Who's the listener? Do we care?
Dave Robinson. And so S.H.I.E.L.D. from the what do they call it? The Blue Circle line? Dark Circle line?
Yeah.
Will there be a second issue to come out in 2016? Last issue came out in October.
No.
Yes.
Sure.
Will it be a humble bundle? Will it be part of...
Just on its own.
All right. Yes, it's all by itself. Pay what you want. We don't want to pay for that. We...
Actually, the Dark Circle comics have been very good.
I like Black Hood. I think that's the only one I've read.
There's Black Hood. I think there's a Wade has a, I want to call it Black Fox.
I got a good one then. I got a good one. And then we should seriously wrap this up. I already tried once, but here's a good one. Because Archie's has announced its horror line, right? Which is now got, it's an official line.
Yeah.
With the Afterlife with Archie and the Chilling Tales of Sabrina. What will be the third title coming from it?
I'm going to say a Josie and the Pussycats book.
I'm going with some sort of monster dog hot dog book.
I want that one more than my.
If it's not that, they're dead to me. I'm going to say something to do with Jughead and aliens.
Good.
That would be good. Veronica, something.
Veronica as a vampire?
Yeah.
I like it. That's my prediction. Then.
Teen vampire thing? Oh, yeah. Booyah Shaka.
Yeah, probably go. That with Ronnie. I like that. Deadly Bites of Veronica.
Yeah.
Like Deadly, it's a good title.
It is a good title. Deadly Bites of Veronica.
The Haunted House of Hot Dog has a ring to it.
Ooh, like, there's something to that.
Yeah.
There is. All right. Somebody end this damn thing. Do the listeners a favor.
It's my podcast. I'll put it. I'll take care of it, Ma. All right.
Old Yeller.
Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can find us on WeTalkPodcasts.com and Comicosity.com. You can support our sponsor, Geek Nation Tours. And we're also on, are we still on Stitcher? We're on Stitcher.
We're on the TuneIn Radio. You can subscribe by signing up with your email in the top right-hand corner. We're at WeTalkPodcasts and is the Twitter, and then each of us has a Twitter. If you just look us up, you can find us. Our Twitter's off the website. And you got
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah,
like us on Facebook. If you're over 50, that's head to Facebook.
Yeah. Which is, we're all pretty close to that, so.
I'm the youngin' of the group.
No, I am.
You're younger than me.
Yeah, you bet.
I'm like 5 weeks younger than Brett, so he's like ancient.
Yeah, I know. Just look at him. He's so old. Just look at him.
Pasty.
All right. But I think that's it. Anything else you want to say, Chris? Good.
No.
Then I promise we'll be better on the Kryptonite Awards, everybody. I'm sorry about this.
I think we had a great show.
Keith, and we're gonna throw it out there.
Yeah,
we have, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, we're back to basics. Now stay tuned for Chris and me interviewing the legendary comic creator Mike Baron, whose new book from First Comics / Devil's Due comes out in February. That is Badger Number One, the return of the 1980s classic character. Hey, Owen, here we go. It is We Talk Comics interview special with Mike Baron. Mike, say hi to everyone.
Hello to my northern neighbors.
My name is Keith. I'm the co-host of We Talk Comics. I'm joined by Chris.
Chris, and I can't tell you how excited I am to talk to the Mike Baron, a formative comic writer from my, well, right up till now, but he was a favorite, particularly during my teen years. I'm excited for this one.
Now, Mike, we're gonna jump right into it. The book that you've got coming up is the beginning of the new First Comics.
Well, actually, First has been around for about 5 or 6 years, kind of flying under the radar.
Yeah,
they've had a presence at cons, and they're marketing some books, but now they're stepping it up, obviously.
And this is Badger is what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, Badger's going to ship in February, finally. Because we've been working on it for 2 years.
And this is what this is the second time that the book's been at First, but it's been at three or four companies over its storied career.
Yes, it has. Yes, it's had a long and sordid history.
Well, let's touch that storied history. Where does Badger start?
Well, I dreamed it up in Madison, Wisconsin around 1982 or 83. We just sold Nexus to Capital Comics. And then Jeff Butler and I wanted to do a strip about a druid wizard. We already drew 12 pages to show these guys, so we took it and showed it to them. We said, druid wizard? Nobody wants a druid wizard. We want a costume crime fighter. So I thought to myself, why would anybody put on a costume and fight crime? They have to be crazy. And I read this book called The Minds of Billy Milligan, which is about multiple personality. And it's a fascinating book, and multiple personality has always fascinated me. It goes in and out of favor with the psychiatric community. And right now the ruling is no, there's no such thing. It's a bizarre manifestation of schizophrenia or whatever. But it suited my character, the Badger, and I named him the Badger because I'm from the Badger State, and everything was Badger there. Then I gave him a background and a rationale. But I told Jeffrey, well, we got to do this costume crime fighter. And Jeff says, well, I'm not giving up these 12 pages of this druid wizard. So we stuck that in the first book, and that's how Badger met Ham.
Now, this new Badger, new series for Badger, this is a complete relaunch, right?
Yes, it is.
And how many issues is it planned for?
Five initially. We're hoping it'll be a success because I've got a lot more stories planned. And a lot of great artists I want to use who would love to draw an issue of the Badger. But the first one is pretty tight continuity, if I could use that word, because the story is really totally insane, except for the first issue. The first issue relaunches the character as a veteran of the war in Afghanistan recently. It makes him young again. And why not? He's my character. I can do whatever I want with him. And look at what they've done to Batman over the years. So this time he's an Afghan veteran. And the first issue is very emotionally devastating. And it's quite grim. But after that, I promise you that it just gets as crazy as Marx Brothers in Duck Soup or something.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I loved about the first series is you never quite knew how seriously to take the Badger himself. Even it had flights of fancy, yet sometimes it was quite heart wrenching.
Yeah, that's something I like about the character, which is he can be anything I want. And we veered from tragedy to comedy, sometimes in the same issue.
Now, how do you approach, reimagining a character that, was your own, is your own, and you told dozens and dozens of stories with this character? How do you start fresh?
I am just like a sponge, like any creative writer. I produce stories and ideas like a bricklayer lays bricks. That's my job. And I'm always looking for story ideas, for inspiration. And I see it everywhere. And I carry notebooks with me everywhere. And whenever I get an idea, I jot it down. You won't believe this, but I've got 24 Badger stories that no one's seen yet. Some are completely scripted, some are just very elaborate treatments, but one thing I don't lack for is ideas.
So, well, I have always had a question about Badger, that who and why is Larry?
The answer lies in some of those back issues, particularly the Shattered Mirror series I did for Dark Horse with Jill Thompson. But Larry was Badger's stepfather. He's the guy that abused him severely and caused his personality to fracture.
So,
boys.
Yeah.
Just checking.
That was sometimes a straightforward answer throws me off my game.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can't really make, when you discuss multiple personality and why it exists, I suppose you can make a joke out of anything. I mean, even Schindler's List has a couple of jokes, but multiple personality pretty much rises out of severe child abuse, often sexual in nature, and young minds can't deal with it, so they fracture.
Now, getting into some of the business of things, you first introduced Badger in the early 1980s when there wasn't a lot of creator-owned characters out there.
Right.
You had done Nexus before that. Why the focus on creator-owned for you in the early 80s?
Well, it wasn't creator-owned. We signed away our rights. And the only reason Steve Rude and I own Nexus today is because Mike Richardson returned the right and the trademark and copyright to us in an unprecedented act. I don't own Badger. I have a permanent piece of the action, and they can't really do much with him without me. But Badger is owned by First Publishing.
Okay.
I was wondering why your current book of Nexus is over at Rude Dude Productions, and this is a first.
Why is Nexus at Dark Horse?
Well, I don't think Nexus is at Dark Horse. Isn't it at Rude Dude
Productions? Oh, yeah, it is. In fact, we released a book this month. A brand new Nexus graphic novel. It's called Into the Past, and it shipped this month. It should be in your local comic book store. We do work with Dark Horse, and I think of Dark Horse as our semi-permanent home, or at least, most favored nation status after what Mike did for us. But now Steve Rude is publishing Nexus himself. It's going to debut on the Internet in a couple of weeks, and subscribers will get the Nexus page shipped to them in a tube. And why is it in a tube? Because it's being printed There's a single sheet of Sunday paper size color, 11 by 22 inches, and it's going to ship once a week.
Madness might be too far, but that's a unique packaging.
Yeah, well, it's all the dude's idea. He wanted to go back to the source.
So you're not writing the
I'm writing it.
So you've started from the Dark Horse first, or you started from the first kind of time, and then you moved to, did a lot of work for Marvel or DC. Marvel and DC.
Well, I started Capital, and then Capital sold the rights to the two books to First Comics.
And then on to Marvel after that, right? Or kind of back and forth?
Yeah, I started working for Marvel in the early to mid-80s as well. As soon as Nexus and Badger came out, they called me up and asked me to write for them.
And so one of the key books you worked on there at Marvel was Punisher, turning him from being one of the key writers who turned him from a villain into a kind of an anti-hero.
Yeah, I approached Punisher as a straight crime comic, and I managed to do 2 years without any superheroes or stuff like that. But then I got a new editor, and he wanted me to incorporate more of the Marvel Universe.
That's the cost of doing business, I guess.
It's their characters, you know. I was delighted and honored to be invited to participate.
And Chris, now I know there's a book from this time period you want to talk about.
Oh, yes, yes. By my math, we're about, and my math is terrible, so if I'm wrong, we're about 568 weeks late on Sonic Disruptors number 8. What's going on?
You mean why did they drop it?
No. If you have an ending to Sonic Disruptors, that would be
absolutely
great.
Absolutely, and it's all completely written out in a new series called Ethel, which I wrote, but I haven't placed it yet. But I always wanted to continue the story, you know, and make it make sense, hopefully, and I did in this new series, and it's about a near future where most of the world is under the government of the United Nations, and we have a young couple who are rebels. They don't have the chips. They took the chips out, and they're fleeing from the authorities in an old gas-powered Chevy, which only uses ethyl gasoline, which is why they call it ethyl. And the car is so primitive that it doesn't have any computers and can't be tracked. And so, you know, they're chasing them all over the United States. Well, of course, they could track it with infrared because it is an internal combustion engine, and they have a lot of problem getting fuel for it all the time. But they also take advantage of the weather and everything they can, and they keep it under wraps on cool nights, you know. So it's about that. And that involves Sonic Disruptors, which are still operating at the time.
Oh, I can't tell you how happy that makes me. That's been a quest for so many years. And of course, I'll
send you the scripts if you like, because we don't have a publisher.
It's a Christmas miracle, Chris.
It's a miracle.
We would love to read those, Mike.
Sure.
Yes. I mean, the guys always gave me a hard time because this was back in the day when they canceled something. You know, we didn't have the internet just to tell you, oh, it's not happening. No, I just kept waiting. You also worked on one of my favorite runs of The Flash, which actually I have some questions about The Flash Annual number 1. 1987. Now, 1988, actually, I was obsessed with two things. The Flash Annual number 1 and Bloodsport, because they both had the death
touch in them. And I just reread it recently, and I realized Flash does not really use his powers at all in this annual. It could have been any character whatsoever. Was this story written for the Flash? Or so happened to fit?
No, absolutely.
Because it was never referenced at any other time that he has this death touch. Of course, you left the book soon after.
Yeah, I ran out of things to say, which today I would not have done. But honestly, I was stumped as to what to do with the character.
I've got another DC question then, Mike. Now you created the Butcher.
Yeah.
So where did that character come from? I mean, there's so few Native American lead characters, you know, especially then, but
well,
even
yes
to today.
And no. I mean, I could probably name off enough to fill two hands. There's Tim Truman's Scout, and there's Tomahawk, who's a DC character, and I wish they would resurrect him. And I know there are a couple of members of the Alpha Flight are Native Americans. I have to Google it, boys. One of the reasons is I grew up in South Dakota, and I had some Indian pales, and you write what you know, and so it would seem natural to me to have an Indian dude who was a superhero of sorts. Boys.
Yeah. All right. Now let's get back to Badger.
If you're still awake there.
Let's get back to Badger.
Okay.
Who's working with you on Badger?
Jim Fern did the first issue. And because that issue is so realistic and gritty in its tone, Jim was ideally suited to it. But then the tone changes abruptly with the second issue. Tony Akins was going to do the whole series from then on, but Tony was only able to finish one issue. So Vale Myerick, whom I've been working with for decades, takes over the third, fourth, and fifth issues, and he knocks it out of the park. I've been posting some of his art on my Mike Baron author page on Facebook. He's better than ever. He's one of those rare guys that just keeps getting better and better.
Absolutely, a really exceptional artist. So we've got all these in the can then.
Yeah, they're all done.
And we'll be seeing them on a monthly schedule?
Yeah. February, March, April, May, June, and July. Right through the convention season.
And what happened? And what's your next thing after Badger?
Well, we're going to have to wait for sales to justify another series, but I've got it all prepared, and it has to do with the struggle for sorcery supreme in the world. Because the first series, Ham gets into an imbroglio with the other wizards. It seems there's supposed to be five wizards. North, south, east, west. Four wizards. There are four wizards. And it turns out that one of these wizards is Vladimir Putin, which should come as a surprise to no one, because you've all seen photos of him flying on the back of an eagle, bare-chested.
I did like seeing that little bit hidden in the Andesha for this issue of Badger, that you do not own the right, you do not hold the rights to Vladimir Putin.
Vlad was very generous in granting us the right to use it. And Yawk, I don't know if anybody remembers Yawk, and yet Yawk is another of the wizards.
Okay. Interesting. And when First was announced a couple of years ago, there was a book called Howl that was talked about. Did that has that happened?
It hasn't happened, but it's happening. The artist, Shane Oakley, he's an amazing artist, but he's very slow. Mm. And he hurt his wrist, so he's been working in pain. And he ran 6 months over on a Neil Gaiman story that he's doing for Dark Horse. And then finally he dived into mine, and I've seen the thumbnails, and he's working on the first issue now. It's just going to stun people. It's about werewolves and jazz. in the 60s, the early 60s, werewolves and jazz.
And that's horror. Chocolate peanut butter if I've ever heard it.
Flesh shredding horror.
Oh, I love it. Well, fantastic. We're gonna sign off with you here, Mike. Tell folks how they can find you. You mentioned a Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm Michael A. Barron on Facebook, Michael A. Barron, but I have an author page, Mike Barron, which is what I write under and which I've always written under and which I wish were my legal name, but it's not. And I also have a web page, bloodyredbaron.org. Oh, no, net. Org is nonprofit. bloodyredbaron.net.
Fantastic.
Also, if you go to Amazon and put my name in, you'll find a lot of listings. And I'm writing novels now.
Okay.
Which you are turning into comics from what I've read.
Well, I'm adapting Biker for comics. And Biker is the first Josh Pratt novel. He's a reformed motorcycle hoodlum who becomes a private investigator. And this is unlike anything the comic book world has ever seen before. It's going to go off like a nuclear explosion because of the story itself, the way it's handled, the art, the dialogue, and the depth of the characterization.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Mike, thanks for taking the time with us. Badger is out in February. Make sure you're pre-ordering it now. And watch for everything else from First Comics.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime. That was fun.
Thank you so much, Mike.